on today's Run to the Top podcast.
When you first get injured and thinking about all of the things you're unable to do, try and shift your focus to the things that you can do. And there are still things you can do, and really embracing that idea that my recovery is now my sport. And what do I need to do in order to make sure I get through this process with resilience and confidence and as strong as I can?
Welcome to the Run to the Top podcast from Runners Connect, where it's all about learning from the best and most inspiring minds in the sport. Together, we can train a smarter, healthier, and faster running community. Now here's your host, Stephanie K. Atwood.
Welcome. This is Stephanie K. Atwood, Boston Marathon qualifier, coach, and host for the Run to the Top podcast. Are you currently injured? If not, lucky you. Injuries affect every athlete, from the elite Olympian to the weekend racer, and when it happens, it can feel like the most devastating event possible. While some athletes are completely destroyed by the experience, others emerge from their recovery better, stronger, and more confident than ever. How? Rebound, a new book, co-authored by Carrie Jackson Cheadle and Cindy Kuzma, offers a roadmap to work toward a swifter, stronger comeback from injury using mental skills and psychological tools that allow you to take control of your recovery and ultimately use the experience to your advantage. We'll be talking to Carrie and Cindy, both runners who collaborated on this book, sharing their own personal experiences and stories from close to 50 other injured athletes who came back strong. They will inspire and educate you about the psychological and mental aspects of coping and recovering from being injured. Let's learn just a little bit about our authors. Carrie Jackson Cheadle lives in Northern California and is a mental skills coach and certified mental performance consultant. Carrie has been interviewed for publications such as Men's Fitness, Women's Health, Outside Magazine, Shape Magazine, Runner's World, Bicycling Magazine, and Huffington Post. There's more in there too, but I didn't put them in the introduction. Carrie consults with athletes of all ages and at every level and is known for her expertise in sports performance and psychology, recovery from injury. When she isn't working with athletes, you might find her running on a trail, playing guitar, or hitting the slopes on her snowboard. So welcome to Run to the Top, Carrie.
Thank you so much for having me.
That was a long introduction before I got a chance to talk to either of you. When I write stuff, I don't always know how long it's going to take to say it. So anyway, yeah. Carrie, let's go through the first four with you before we introduce Cindy.
Sure.
You are a runner, right?
Yes.
And if so, how long have you been running?
I have had a love-hate relationship with running for a very long time. And it's funny, it took me a long time to call myself a runner. Just even having you say that, like it's, I had a whole full body visceral reaction. Like I struggled with running. Oh my God, I hated it. But now I really just, it's such a beautiful part of my life. And probably, oh gosh, I want to say about 20 years now.
Wow.
I think when I first started, but you know, and would not have said I was a runner. I think I cursed through every run I ever did before I realized what pacing was.
Understood. Yeah, you're not the first one to say that word, you know, that you don't think of yourself as a runner, even though you've been running all of this time. Oh, okay. So I'm glad that you think of yourself as a runner now. Three more questions. Yep. Where were you born? Where are you living now? And what has been one single outstanding success for you as an athlete?
I was born in Walnut Creek, California. Okay. I now live in San Rafael, California, which is just north of San Francisco. Mm. And oh gosh, I have so many successes, which is so wonderful. But I think it's the one that really stands out to me right now, probably because of what we're talking about, is the season coming back into snowboarding after my second knee injury, where I really did a lot of very significant work on my mental training to get through that injury and came back to have just an incredible season and was so proud of myself for going through that process. So that was one of my big successes.
Wow. That's a great story. Thank you for sharing that. Now, We do have another guest, and she's equally important, Cindy Kuzma. Let me read just a little bit about you, and then we'll ask you that first four batch of questions as well. Cindy Kuzma is a Chicago-based journalist with a specialty in fitness and health, a contributing writer at Runner's World Magazine, and co-author of Superfood Swap. She earned her master's degree from Northwestern University Medill School of Journalism and has spent the past 15 years writing for national print and online publications, including Men's Health, Women's Health, Prevention, and USA Today. She has also contributed to the Runner's World Show and Human Race podcasts and is the producer and co-host of the podcast We Got Goals. So welcome to the Run to the Top podcast, Cindy.
Stephanie, thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
It's really fun for me to interview people from all over the country and all over the world. And you two seem like an interesting couple, an interesting pair as far as co-authoring this book, because you don't even live close to each other. So even how you met is going to be kind of fun to learn about. So Cindy, here's the first four questions. Are you a runner? I'm going to ask all four. If so, how long have you been running? Where were you born? Where are you living now? And tell us about one single outstanding success for you as an athlete.
Sure. Well, like Carrie, I have also been running for about 20 years. You mentioned that I went to Medill School of Journalism for graduate school, and that's about when I started running too. I didn't grow up a runner, but came to love it later on in life. I was born in Peru, Illinois, which is about 2 hours outside of Chicago, and now I live in the city of Chicago. Just a mile from the Lakefront Trail, which we may talk about later. You know, I, like you, Stephanie, have qualified for the Boston Marathon and have done a lot of things I'm proud of. But one thing that is also kind of related to what we're talking about today is after some running injuries that I had, I started strength training to both prevent future injuries and kind of supplement my training. And I came back in the 2014 Quad Cities Marathon, which is outside of Chicago also. They had a competition called the Pump and Run, which is you would go to the expo and do a combination of bench presses and bicep curls with a certain amount of weight. And like the number of repetitions you could do, you would multiply that by a number and subtract it from your marathon time the next day. And whoever had the lowest time with all that would win. And so I won that competition. I'll never win a marathon, but the fact that I could do those things together and combined made me feel like a really well-rounded and strong athlete.
Wow. Both of these stories were really good. Thank you for sharing them. And I just interviewed Alex Harrison, who was talking about the value of strength training, even into heavy lifting. I mean, he kind of ran the gamut. But strength training, you know, just seems like such an important part of running these days.
Yeah, absolutely. I found it incredibly beneficial, and both on the mental and physical side.
Interesting. Okay, well then let's get on to Rebound, the book that you two co-authored. And so here's kind of my question. We get injured, we get sidelined, we get discouraged. What is important about rebounding by applying mental techniques, and why does it matter?
This is Carrie speaking. You know, when you get injured as an athlete, the way that we conceptualize injury, it's a very physical experience. And so what happens for injured athletes is oftentimes they get a lot of support with the physical aspects of their recovery, but not necessarily the mental and psychological aspects. But you ask any injured runner and they'll tell you it's absolutely both a mental and physical process coming back. So I think the idea of rebound is important, both in that getting that message out that you can bounce when you hit an impact point in your training or in your athletic life, and that the mental piece is just as important to think about rehabbing as the physical piece.
And Cindy, do you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, I mean, I will just say that the idea here too is to give athletes, you return a sense of control to them over the psychological aspect. You know, so often we are, again, we can go to physical therapy, we can have specific exercises to do on the physical side, but when it comes to the mental or emotional side, we feel so alone and like there isn't really anything within our control. But we want to tell athletes and runners that there is a lot they can do. They can, you know, take action both on the physical side and the psychological side to come back stronger. And we're glad to provide them some tools to do so.
That is so important. And anyone who's been injured, and that's got to be 99% of all runners, gets this sense of, at least this sense of loss, even if it's a short-term injury that you can come back from pretty quickly. But to have some mental tools, to have some actual psychological tools that can help us seems like such a, in one way, such a no-brainer, and yet in an area that really hasn't been addressed nearly as much as it should have been. So bringing this us to your book, Rebound, what do you each bring to the strength of this book, and how did you meet?
Well, this is Cindy. I can start with this one. So I am, as you mentioned in the intro, Stephanie, I am a journalist, and I write a lot about running and other aspects of fitness and health. And I've been writing for Runner's World since about 2013. And actually, I had interviewed Carrie as an expert source many times on this topic and similar topics. And having been injured many times myself and just finding it a really fascinating experience personally and professionally, I wanted to delve into this topic more deeply. And so my strength is, you know, I have the skills. I went out and interviewed all of the athletes, and I have co-written a book before and have written many magazine and online articles. So I kind of brought that writing and that narrative skill to it. And Carrie can speak to what she brings, but she brings that, like, the clinical expertise and the knowledge of sports psychology.
Now, did you, Cindy, approach Carrie on the subject? Is that how it started? Or which one of you actually had this, at least the initial concept?
Sure. Well, this is Cindy again. So Carrie has been doing this work with injured athletes for years, and she can speak to this a little bit more. But she kind of had this idea about this book and posted kind of a vague message on social media about it. And I had been following her and connected with her for a while. And I saw that message and I thought, I wonder if Carrie is thinking about writing a book on this topic, on the psychology of injury. And if she is, I think we should work on it together. So I kind of messaged her and I thought, well, let's just talk about it a little bit more. So we got on the phone and it turned out that Carrie was thinking about writing a book for injured athletes. And I proposed the idea of working on it together. And she said that she had a book retreat planned for herself in Asheville, North Carolina. And I thought, would it be weird if I invited myself on her book retreat? We'd never met in person before. And so I did. And she said yes. And we met in person in Asheville, North Carolina, and hashed out the outline that would eventually become Rebound.
Wow. Yeah. So, Cindy, what can you add to this whole part of the subject?
Well, this is Carrie. And it was so funny,
Carrie,
that, no, that's okay. When Cindy reached out to me, I just was excited to, like, share that I'm ready to write this book, and this is going to be my second book, and had no idea. So it wasn't even a thought in my mind to do a collaboration. And it just didn't even dawn on me that that was something that would be an option. And so when she called and we chatted, and she was like, well, I know you were already planning this, and I don't know how you'd feel about this, but what would you think about the possibility of collaborating? And I was like, that's an interesting idea. Yeah. And I had already had this book retreat planned for myself, where I was going to go for 3 weeks and start working on the book. And then we said, you know what, why don't we, and I had the same thought that Cindy did, where I was like, would it be, so independently of each other, we were both thinking, like, would it be weird if we, like, spent some of that time together? So that was the first time we met in person. Mm-hmm. Was we spent a week together in Asheville, North Carolina, for this book retreat, and decided, well, let's work on the outline together. And if we feel like we work well together, you know, that'll be our way of finding that out. So we did that process, and like Cindy shared, the outline of the book pretty much stayed the same that we worked on together at that time. So it was very fortunate, and we really do. And I'm so grateful that I ended up doing it as a collaboration instead of by myself, because it definitely is a better book for it, because we both bring really key strengths to the book, where we both have, like, my, you know, experience working with injured athletes and all of the different mental drills that I work on with athletes and how to help them through that process. And then Cindy's strength of being able to share the athlete stories and bring in that narrative so that people have the narrative and the stories to learn from and identify with. So it's a really great combination.
Yeah, it seems like a great team. And going forward with this same concept on the book, how did you decide on the format? Because the format is interesting. It's got, you know, there's a lot of text there, reading kind of helpful stuff, charts, graphs. And then there are these quips about the different athletes that got interviewed and how they contributed to, or how I guess they benefited from using mental aids and mental ability to overcome their injuries.
I think the format, this is Carrie again, I knew I wanted to do it similar to my first book, On Top of Your Game, where it was kind of explaining the different concepts and then having very specific drills. So we knew we wanted it to be athlete friendly, like speaking directly to the athlete that's injured. And then also potentially to athletic trainers and people that work with athletes, but we wanted it in very athlete friendly applied language,
right?
Which was important to me. And then also I knew I want to give people this something to do, like, here's how you actually work on this thing. So we knew that was going to be a part of it. And then Cindy helped me realize how important the narrative is, because the way I consume books and I read books, like if I'm reading a book like this, I would just flip through the injured athlete stories, which is like, I'm so embarrassed to say that right now, but like the way I no matter what the topic is, I like to get to like, give me the meat I want to know. And I'll skip that. And she helped me realize like, oh, well, other people might do the opposite. So other people, yeah, that's a really key piece. And so I think the way it came together is so perfect that it really encompasses all of those things. And I really truly believe that there isn't going to be someone that reads the book that doesn't come away with something, because we've included all of those pieces.
Right. And format wise, now you also have like different levels within the different aspects of it. I'm going to ask you to keep giving us more detail on the book, but an injured person could go through it at different times during their injury and be able to like benefit from some of the same drills, but using them at kind of a different level. Can you explain that?
Yeah, this is Carrie. So the way that we talk about the mental skills in the book, there's all these different mental skills and there's different levels of the mental skills. So we have level one, which is rookie, level two, which is all-star, and then level three, which is Hall of Fame. And within each of those levels, there's different mental skills that we're helping the athletes work on. And then each of the mental drills ties into, it lets you know exactly what skill that you're working on. So throughout the book, in each chapter, at the end of each chapter, there's these specific drills that you can work on to help navigate that part of your recovery of what we're talking about in that chapter. And then it outlines, here are the actual skills that you're working on. And I think that idea is important, is, you know, we don't often think about things like motivation and confidence and emotional intelligence and generosity as skills. And this helps you really identify these are actually skills that are important to your recovery, and here's how to actually work on them.
Can you give an example of a person who was interviewed who used some of these skills, and how that ties in with the book and with the person?
Yes, absolutely. This is Cindy. So one of my, one of the athletes that really just exemplifies, and this is an idea that we'll probably say at another point in this podcast too, which is when you're injured, you're still an athlete. Recovery is now your sport. An athlete who really exemplified that for me that we interviewed for the book was British triathlete Fiona Ford. She was in a really serious bike crash and collision with a car in 2012. And she really approached recovery the same way she did training when she was healthy. She would write her rehab sessions into a training schedule, just like the one she used for racing. And she would kind of set goals that were related to her rehab. Like, for instance, how many minutes am I going to work on my mobility exercise, or how many steps can I take without pain? And using that mentality, she didn't even know if she would return to competing at all, but eventually she did. And she went on to podium in Kona just 4 years later. So it's pretty incredible that you can take that mindset and go from a very serious setback to eventually viewing it as an opportunity.
And what were some of the specific tools that she used to help her come back from this really extreme accident?
Yeah, I mean, one part of it was just like viewing it in the same way as as she did her training and being really, really strategic about that goal setting. I mean, that goal setting is a huge piece of it. And in adjusting her goals, you know, knowing that she wasn't going to be where she was before the accident, but really committing to those new goals. And we have, you know, exercises called things like grab your goals and other ones that help you kind of reframe your goals in new ways that account for the fact that you are in a different situation now.
You have something called a hero's story, I think it is, or something along those lines that, I kind of connected with, you know, some of these different tools that you gave because they would apply at different points during this recovery period, which could be like Fiona. I mean, it was 4 years before she got to back to where she had been. And that's a long period of time, a lot of things to go through.
Yeah, absolutely. This is Cindy again. And yeah, the hero's journey. It's really, you know, if you study literature at all, it's Joseph Campbell. It's a kind of a technique that you use, in writing. You know, the hero faces a challenge. He is set back and then he rises again. And, viewing your injury in that context, in that story is we found a really helpful way to kind of, again, change the narrative for yourself and change your perspective on it.
Yeah, this is Carrie. I think the big piece with the hero's journey that it can be beneficial for athletes is to be able to step back and see this as a part of your athletic journey, which is hard to do in that moment when you're injured because you're just consumed with sort of the immediacy and feeling all of the things that you're not able to do and sort of looking at your experience in that moment under a microscope instead of stepping back and recognizing that you're an athlete that's on this bigger journey. And mm-hmm. although you would prefer at this moment not to be injured right now, that's what you're experiencing. You're this part of your journey. And so sometimes helping athletes see it through that idea of the hero's journey. So you think about like movies like The Lord of the Rings, The Hunger Games, The Wizard of Oz, or Harry Potter. Like they all follow this narrative of the hero's journey where there's like a person that's sort of a normal everyday person that somehow has a call to adventure. And through that process encounters different challenges and you watch them rise up through that. So part of the hero's journey is that you are going to be faced with these challenges and there are going to be difficult things that you have to do, but that you're still on a journey. So sometimes I think when you get injured, you think the journey has stopped, but really mm-hmm. you're still on that journey and you're still moving through it. So seeing it through that narrative can be really helpful.
And you're talking about regular people, so regular runners and yep. those of us, if we compare ourselves with some of these characters in these stories that you've alluded to, we are being forced to overcome some kind of adversity. And this hero's journey then can help us to actually deal with with the challenge.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Now, you've each had personal experiences with injury. And what injuries did you have where you applied some of the techniques that you've written about in the book?
Yeah, this is Carrie. Actually, what was interesting is the first time I applied everything in the book actually happened way before the book was written. And when I was in graduate school for sports psychology and I injured my knee. So I had the experience of before my graduate studies, I had a knee injury that I had a really difficult time coming back from. I really struggled with my confidence getting back into my sports and trusting my knee and fears of re-injury. And then when I was in the program, I ended up getting another knee injury, a separate injury where I tore my MCL in my left knee. And I decided, I made a conscious decision, okay, I am going to apply absolutely everything I am learning in my program to this injury and coming back. And that's where mm-hmm. I really came up with that idea of like, my recovery is now my sport. And I'm going to put everything I can into this to see what that process is like. And I had a huge difference between how I felt coming back from that first injury versus the second injury. Like it just was mind-blowingly different to the point where I was like, oh, wow, everybody needs to know about this because this is significant. So that was the first one. And then I, you know, I've had multiple injuries since then where I always apply these now. And the latest is I'm still on the tail end of a shoulder injury. And so finding myself needing to apply some of this stuff with my current injury as well.
Okay. So Cindy, what about you? Personal experiences with injury?
Right. This is Cindy. Yeah. One of them was kind of the one I mentioned before, was that I started strength training after, as a consequence of having multiple stress fractures, actually, had a physician tell me that, strength training, and especially as you were mentioning earlier, heavy lifting is actually really beneficial for bone strength. And so, was able to incorporate that into my routine and found it both, mentally and emotionally really helpful, because it was something I could be doing even while I couldn't run anymore. And I started to feel that same kind of rush and empowerment and feeling of accomplishment that I did from running when I was able to lift something heavy and then lift something heavier and see those signs of progress. So it was really motivating along the way. And then, as I mentioned, when I returned to running, really gave me an extra advantage, an extra way to define success, and also improved my running for sure. Another example was, I've had so many running injuries over my 20 years. I've had 4 stress fractures. I've had high hamstring tendinopathy. Ooh. I've had Achilles tendonitis. And I had a foot injury before the Boston Marathon in 2018, where I thought at first it was a stress reaction and I wasn't going to be able to run. And then I got a change in diagnosis just a few weeks before the race. So after missing a significant amount of training and not being sure that I was going to run the race at all, it turned out I was able to. And I used so many of the techniques in the book, things like visualization, where I sort of pictured myself running strong, and mantras, things that helped me, recognize that my pain was okay, and that that even if it hurt, it wasn't going to be an inevitable slide into worse pain, and that I wasn't doing ongoing damage. And I was able to adjust my goal for that race too, which again, I think is a really important part of this, that, I defined success as finishing and finishing strong and seeing that finish line and being excited about it. And I was able to accomplish that. And I felt no less excited for that finish than I have for the times when I finished a marathon, in a personal record. So it was a really profound experience for me as well.
Wow. Now, visualization, you mentioned visualization, and that's part of your book, as well as it's part of something that I've used many times in my coaching and myself. Talk about how you apply that within your book.
So this is Cindy again. And yeah, there are many different ways that you can use visualization, and we outline many different ones in the book. And as you kind of mentioned, Stephanie, people can go through the book at different rates and use different exercises at different times. So one that Carrie can guide people through, we actually have an MP3. If you sign up for our mailing list, she guides people through this kind of visualization that's really helpful, is you can picture your bones healing or your muscles healing or your tendons healing. If you're kind of an anatomically minded person, you can think about what actually has to happen within your body to heal your injury, and you can kind of focus on that. Another thing that we talk about in the book is this technique called mental contrasting, where you visualize things going well, and then also visualize maybe things not going so well, and then how you'll handle that. Because one of the things that I think Carrie would tell you about visualization, and maybe you know this too, Stephanie, from your work, that we fire up some of the same neural pathways when we're imagining something happening as we do when it actually happens. So if you kind of visualize things going well, you kind of prime your body for that. But if you visualize things going not well, but yourself recovering from that in some way and not catastrophizing or handling it in a smooth and effective way, you can kind of prime yourself for that too, so that when the inevitable roadblocks do come up, you can navigate them more easily.
Carrie, what would you like to add to that?
I think visualization is definitely a powerful mental skill that we talk about, and then include mental drills in there that the athlete can use throughout different parts of their recovery. Mm-hmm. And so that healing vision and the healing visualization is one key one. And then even, later on, as you get closer to the reentry, being able to see yourself successfully performing in your mind, like what Cindy is talking about, is it helps to prime your brain for that self-belief, and the idea that you have to be able to see it in your mind before you can sort of realize it in your life. And one of the things about this idea of using visualization through your injury recovery that can be hugely beneficial after your recovery is that sometimes this is one of the things where an athlete might choose to work on this particular mental skill of being able to use visualization in a way where it's very effective and practicing it so that it's actually something that's in their mental training arsenal. And then you get to carry that with you into your sport after your recovery. So all of the drills that we talk about in the book, although you're applying them specifically to your injury recovery, Oftentimes athletes, you know, one of the benefits of it is that they've now worked on all of these mental training drills and can continue to use that as they get back into their sport.
Yeah, this is interesting for me personally, because I have gone through a series of injuries in the last 2 years. I started off with a broken collarbone, and then I found out I had a stress fracture in my femur and my tibia, and then I tore a meniscus. And so I'm past all of those, but yeah. I am fearful, you know, of having injuries again. And can you kind of walk me through a little bit of this type of situation? I know my injuries might not be everybody's injuries, but certainly the aspect of starting with one thing and then kind of, you know, things compounding. How do we work with that as injured athletes who are trying to get back into it, but are also apprehensive about getting back into it?
Yeah, this is Carrie. I think the first thing is just knowing that that's normal, that your brain is wired to protect your body. And so having those fears of re-injury or a different injury are normal. And it's your brain's way of trying to keep you on high alert so that you don't injure yourself again. The thing that's challenging is that sometimes your brain keeps you on high alert when you don't necessarily need to be on high alert. So one of the great things about the book is that it really has all of these very specific things that you can do in order to build that confidence back up and address some of those fears of re-injury. So it's, you know, another thing I see athletes go through, it's really normal. And when you've had multiple injuries, it can be very frustrating because we just so badly want our body to always work the way we want it to in the moment that we want it to. Like, we don't want to have to deal with this. And so fighting against it takes a lot of energy. So really just accepting, kind of being in the moment, and I'm healthy now and that feels amazing and I'm so grateful, and moving forward with that, and knowing if anything happens, I would prefer to not have to deal with another injury, but I can handle it. And it's part of the beautiful privilege of being an athlete, is that if you've been a runner, you know, if you've been privileged enough to call yourself a runner or an athlete for long enough, at some point, this is going to be part of your story, is coming back through injury. But I think in particular with your situation where you've had multiple injuries, it's hard not to think, when's the next one coming? Like, what's going to happen next? And what am I going to deal with next?
Gotcha.
And maybe I should just stop this altogether. Mm-hmm. And that's normal to think too, that it's normal for people to think like, do I want to keep doing this? And it's okay to have that thought too. Mm-hmm. And I think the other powerful thing about working on your mental training is when you do that and really are able to be resilient and build your confidence back up through another injury, and you're still asking yourself, what do I want my relationship to be with my sport now? And do I want to continue to do this? You do it from a place where you feel very grounded and you know you're making that decision because it's the right decision for you versus making that decision out of fear. So I think that's the biggest thing, is it's normal to go through that and remind yourself, just because I have been injured in the past, it doesn't mean that it's going to happen again, that it's okay for me to get out there and run and enjoy running while I'm running.
I also read at some point in the book, and I don't actually remember now, but kind of looking at the bigger picture and questioning what those future goals should be and if they maybe need to change, and the beauty of having community and group support in there is something that you also bring up in the book. And can you talk about that? Because, you know, if I'm reading this book and I'm just hunkering down by myself, that may not be as good as both reading the book, working on what's in it, and then also getting out there and being part of the community.
Right. This is Cindy. And absolutely. I mean, one of the things that we outline in the book is the different kinds of support that you need as an injured athlete, or really as a human being in the world. You need emotional support, motivational support, informational support, and tangible support. So informational support is sort of the kind of information that we have in the book, as well as information about your injury and your rehab process. Tangible support is the kinds of things like people driving you to your appointments or helping you carry something if you're on crutches. But those motivational and I think they're our book can be motivational support in part because just knowing that there is something you can do and having the guidelines to start doing it is really motivational. But motivational and certainly emotional support are things that are a little bit easier to get in the real world. And that's why we definitely encourage people to know that those are important and to seek those out. We have a Facebook group for injured athletes called the Injured Athletes Club, where people can access that online and just reaching out to others. You know, Carrie talks a lot about kind of the myths of support. And one of the myths of support is that everyone will know what I need exactly when I need it and offer it to me. And she talks a lot about the fact that you have to be really specific about what you do need and to be the one to reach out for it sometimes and let those people in your running group know, I may not be training with you right now, but I still want to see you, or let's get coffee, or let's talk, or maybe you want to reach out to different people in your life for that support at that time. But knowing that that's important and being proactive about it is really important.
You know, that's a good life skill, obviously. But, you know, a lot of times we'll talk about in relationships, you know, my husband doesn't understand me, my kids don't get me. Well, maybe we need to help them understand what they need to understand. You know, I mean, like we have a responsibility there too, right? Mm-hmm. So being involved in this community and group support part of a running group, even if you're not able to actually run with the group, seems to me like it's an individual process that maybe just we need to accept that change can still bring these things to us, even though our relationship with others and our performance is going to be different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is Carrie. It's hard. You know, there is a tendency with some people sometimes to want to isolate when you're injured because it's painful to see other people that are still running when you so desperately just want to be running yourself. And then there's an added layer of sometimes feeling guilty that you're having those feelings about people that are your friends and your running buddies. Like it's, so there is a tendency to isolate sometimes. And what's interesting is a lot of times when we interview athletes for the podcast or interviewed for them for the book, they'll talk about how the ways that they did still stay connected to the community. And even though it was hard and there was some emotional pain that went with that because they really wished they could be out there with them, that they were really glad that they did it, that they stayed connected in that way. And for me, that was a really significant part of this whole project was I wanted to build a community where people would have the opportunity to be able to support each other and people who really get it. Like the people who, because they've been there as an injured athlete, would recognize how excited you were when, I think one of the things I posted with my shoulder injury was the first time I was able to like do a morning stretch, like where you just like yawn and, you know, move your arms up and you're like, what a luxury. I couldn't do that for so long. I just did it with one arm and it was so unsatisfying like to be able to put on that page, you know, in that group to people who get it, like, I got to stretch for the first time this morning and I'm losing my mind. I'm so excited. Like, and that they can celebrate that with you.
Yeah, brushing your teeth, putting your socks on, tying your shoes.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, and this is Cindy again, too. And I think about Amelia Boone, who we interviewed for the book and our podcast, and just her writing on injury and all related issues is so beautiful. I would encourage everyone to check it out. But she talks about this idea. She talked about this idea, and it really stood out to me that, you know, she went to crew a race that she was supposed to run. And she said it gutted her. The experience was so hard, but it filled her up with something even deeper and more fulfilling once she made it through. It transformed her relationship with the sport. So I just think it's much like pushing through a hard moment in a race because, you know, you have a bigger goal in mind. And so it's kind of like pushing through that discomfort sometimes of not wanting to engage, of not wanting to be there, of feeling that pain ultimately is what enables you to rebound.
Yeah. Now, we talked about the two of you and some injuries you had, and you've alluded to some of the people that you interviewed. Were there any similarities in the, what was it, 49 people that you interviewed, something like that?
Yeah, this is Cindy again. I will say that so many of them expressed this idea that they wouldn't want to go through this injury process again, that it was one of the worst thing that ever happened to them, but that ultimately they were grateful for it because it taught them something. It made them a better athlete and often made them a better person. And that was something really incredible. Another thing that many of them had in common, and they so often said some variation of the phrase, everything happens for a reason. Which, mm-hmm. right, I had that same reaction at first. I was like, oh, I don't agree with that. I don't think that bad things happen to you because it was preordained. But the more I heard it and the more mm-hmm. I listened to what was surrounding it, the more I realized that that actually is sort of like the hero's journey. Like the reason that things happen, we kind of go back and make our reason, and our ability to tell our story in our own way and to find the reason that things happen and to turn that story around is actually what Rebound is all about. So I have a completely different understanding of that phrase now, and that we make our own reason, and that's what enables us to carry on.
Carrie, what would you like to add to that?
I think, yeah. I mean, those were definitely things that stood out to me in terms of the aspects of the athlete stories that were similar and really, really interesting. That idea of everyone saying, like, I wouldn't want to go through it again and I wouldn't wish this on anybody, but I'm actually really grateful that it happened and it made me a better person and it made me a better athlete. So I think just, and what I hope people will get from the book and from those stories is the idea that even though it might feel devastating right now, something really good can come from this. And that's the whole idea of Rebound, is that you might hit an impact point, you know, just like if you're throwing a basketball down towards the ground and it hits that impact point of the ground, is similar to you've hit an impact point, you've become injured as an athlete, and these are the tools you need in order to bounce. And the direction you bounce in might be in a direction you never could have even envisioned.
Right.
And only comes because you went through that injury experience. I think a lot of people realize how strong they truly are by going through something like this.
Yeah, life-changing. And to a great extent, we have the option of making it a very negative overall life change or something that can be quite positive. And just, you know, getting to that point where you can even consider that it could be positive is a mm-hmm. is a huge step.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I know personally many, many years ago, I mean, now it's been like almost 50 years, but we lost a child and then not too much longer, we lost another child. And I just had this sense that after the first one, which was bad enough, that it could never happen because I'd kind of paid my due penance. And then it happened mm-hmm. again, and it was, and in terms of relating this to what we're talking about today, it's this concept that how does something good come out of something that seems so awful? And mm-hmm. there have been good things that came out of that, and I won't go into those details, but it is a life-changing process. And if you're open to it and give it time, I think time mm-hmm. is an incredibly important part of being able to mm-hmm. rebound.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, that's a really, really important point is sort of the timing of that concept. And you can see sometimes like it's difficult when you're really in just the deepest part of the grief and turmoil and trauma in that moment. It's very difficult and maybe not the time to think about like, well, something good will come from this. And sometimes mm-hmm. it isn't until you have that space from it, both sort of time-wise, but also maybe emotionally, and that you can start to see and be open to the possibility that something good could still come from this. And that doesn't mean that it's not an incredibly difficult situation to go through, but that it can be that and also something good.
Exactly. Yeah. So the amount of time is such an important part in my mind. I want to talk about one specific kind of aspect of your book, and then we actually are getting kind of toward the end of our time. PTSD as it relates to athletes. I thought this was really interesting reading about this because we think of PTSD as kind of being related to war. And obviously athletes most of the time are not dealing with war situations. So how do these two parts connect in your book and how to resolve PTSD as a runner?
Yeah. So for some people, depending on the circumstances of their injury, if you go through a pretty significantly traumatic injury, mm-hmm. That is one of the possibilities is that you might experience post-traumatic stress disorder, which is, you know, if you find yourself sort of reliving the incident over and over, and as you get back into trying to train, just panicked and wanting to avoid the situation altogether. So if you, you know, you might find yourself in a situation where you really cannot, your brain is just in major overdrive trying to protect your body. And you might then need to get some support to be able to get through that. So at that point, you might be looking for a sports psychologist or somebody that does clinical work. And there's different ways that people work with people experiencing PTSD to be able to help through that. So, you know, there's a difference between some of the normal, you know, fears of re-injury and and your brain trying to protect you in terms of as you get closer to, you know, the circumstances of your injury. It's normal for you to have an anxiety response because your brain is trying to put you on high alert and say, hey, remember what happened last time? I'm not so sure you should do this. Like that's its job to do that. But sometimes it gets in the way when we're talking about like you actually are physically ready. And that's why this mental training is so important, is because often we're physically healed before we're mentally healed, and we're physically ready before our confidence has had a chance to caught up because you haven't deliberately worked on that. And so that's what the book can help you to do.
And Fiona Ford was one of those people who dealt with PTSD, right,
exactly.
Correct?
Exactly. Yes, this is Cindy. And she did, because she was in a very traumatic bike accident. She did have PTSD, and she started to realize that it was holding her back from her recovery. And one of the things that Carrie mentions that I think is really important to kind of say globally is that seeking professional help at any point in this process is not a sign of weakness. It is, as athletes, sometimes we think we can be strong enough to power through, but, you know, just like you go to a physical therapist for treatment for your physical injury, there's nothing wrong with seeking professional help for some aspects of the psychological components of injury. And it's not admitting that you're not brave or strong. It's actually a sign of strength that you're willing to reach out for help, that you recognize that you need that help and that you're willing to reach out for it. So PTSD is one of those things that it's just really hard to work through on your own, if not impossible. Professional help is really important in that regard. So I just want to make sure that that message gets through to athletes dealing with any aspect of the psychological component of injury.
And even identifying something like that, like how would your Facebook page be able to help people identify if they need to, in fact, get further help than what's on Facebook or what is in the book?
Yeah, this is Carrie. So we, in the book, we actually have a checklist of like, if you are experiencing some of these things, it might be, you know, these are things to pay attention to, and it might be worth reaching out for help. And then we actually have in the Facebook group as well, had people reach out and ask for support in terms of finding somebody to help. So it's, you know, the Facebook group is great for that. Like people will ask each other questions and get support that way. And we have had people where then we can help point them in the right direction and give them the resources to help them find somebody. There's a great resource is the website. It's the Association for Applied Sports Psychology. And on there, you can, in there, they have a directory and you can look up their certified mental performance consultants on that list. And you know, if you find someone on that list, it's somebody that's been trained specifically in the mental aspects of sport performance. And you can also look up if somebody does clinical work and also if they have a specialization in helping athletes coming back from injury. So it's a great resource. But yeah, people can reach out on the Facebook group and we can help them find someone in their area also.
Yeah, that sounds really good. Now we are getting close to the end of our interview time. So how about from each of you, a couple of important takeaways that you would like to share with our audience?
This is Cindy. I will start, and I will say that one of the important things is to feel your feelings. I think as athletes, so often we try to minimize the impact, or we feel guilty. We feel like maybe there's someone else going through things that are worse and we shouldn't feel disappointed or sad or upset or frustrated. But I always say that there's enough suffering to go around, and that if we're not honest with ourselves about how devastating injury can be, and it really can be. I mean, you're being robbed of something that brings you pleasure, that is part of your identity, and is a reliever of stress at the time when you are under significant stress from coping with it. So What, one of the things that we found is that you really can't move through that until you admit that it's happening to you. And there's no shame in that. And that's where that support comes in handy too, I think, to normalize it and to say, you're not alone. We all have these feelings. And, but together we don't have to be controlled by them.
Carrie, what would you like to add to that? An important takeaway.
Yeah. I think the two that strike me, one is that injuries suck. And nobody wants to get injured, and it's not a pleasant process, but you can get through it. And you can come out the other side, even mentally and physically stronger for it. Like it can be something that in hindsight turns out to be a blessing. And I know it's really difficult to think about that in the moment. And I know this because I've been through it multiple times and even, you know, writing the book and working with athletes, I still go through the emotional process because it is an emotional thing to go through. So even though they suck, you absolutely can get through it and you will get through it. And to really try and think about, you know, it's easy to get consumed with the things that you can't do when you first get injured, and thinking about all of the things you're unable to do, and try and shift your focus to the things that you can do. And there are still things you can do, and really embracing that idea that my recovery is now my sport. And what do I need to do in order to make sure I get through this process as strongly and with resilience and confidence and as strong as I can.
And thank you for helping us with giving us concrete tools that we can use to actually make some of these changes and some ideas of what other people have gone through too. There's something comforting about knowing that we're not in this alone. So thank you for Rebound, and thank you for both of you being so on top of this subject to help us runners.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us on the show.
And thanks for sharing your experience too. It's really helpful, Stephanie. Thank you.
Happy to share my experience. Now, we have been listening to Cindy Kusma and Carrie Jackson Cheadle, co-authors of Rebound, Training Your Mind to Bounce Back Stronger from Sports Injuries. And Cindy and Carrie, we are now heading into the final kick. Are you ready for this?
Ready.
So ready.
Okay. So you two are from different parts of the country, and we'd love to hear a favorite local training run from each of you.
This is Cindy. I can start. I have to say the Chicago Lakefront Trail, which you can find almost anywhere in the city of Chicago by heading east until you hit the lake. I live about 1 mile from Foster Avenue Beach. So if you're visiting, you can park there and run south for about 17 miles without stopping. It's gorgeous. You can see the skyline. You can see the lake. It's just one of a true gem in Chicago. So if you come to visit, don't miss it.
Is it mostly flat?
It is mostly flat, if you don't count Cricket Hill, which is kind of a mound of dirt near the soccer fields at mile 3. But otherwise, it's pretty flat. We have to go pretty far from the city of Chicago to find hills, but it's still a gorgeous place to run.
Yeah, sounds wonderful. Okay, how about, let's see, that was Cindy, right? Or was that Carrie?
Yes, that was Cindy. So okay. For me, out on the West Coast, it's funny, I just recently moved to San Rafael, and so I'm still exploring some of the running in this area. So if anyone's listening and you have any good runs for me, please let me know. But I love trail running. And so one of the places I've been exploring is a place called China Camp State Park, and getting to know the trails out there. Yeah.
Uh-huh. I've been there.
Nice.
They seem like they're all actually pretty steep though, and pretty hilly. At least that's been my impression.
I have found a specific route where it's not too bad. Yes.
Where did you start? Not that hills are bad, but where did you start for this beginning, for this not quite so hilly, in case somebody from Chicago shows up there and isn't used to hills.
Right. Yeah. I know. I wish I knew the exact, I don't know all the names of the trails just yet, but as you drive into the park, it's like right in the middle of the park, and it's near, there's like a picnic area. So if anyone's familiar with China Camp State Park and you wanted to know, there's, and I just have been like, kind of I'll turn here and turn here and see what happens. So I don't even know the names of the trails yet.
All right. Well, that sounds good because China Camp State Park is beautiful for picnicking and for looking at the ocean and all that kind of stuff. So that's a good suggestion too. So we are moving on to part two here with a recommended book, research, or video that would be of interest to our listeners. Who wants to take that one?
I'll take that one. This is Carrie. I'm actually doing this little mini book club with one of my athletes that I work with on mental training. And the book that we are, and she is a duathlete and she's reading it in particular for running. And it's a book that's been on my shelf forever that I've been meaning to read. And I'm so grateful because it's helping me with my running as well. And it's called How Bad Do You Want It by Matt Fitzgerald. So it's probably on other of you have probably read it. It might even be on your bookshelf. If you haven't read it yet, I highly recommend it because there's some great stuff in there around the idea of being able to push yourself in terms of like a perceived effort and when it gets really difficult to push yourself in running at some of the different things that are at play, both physically and psychologically, that help you at that moment.
Oh, I love that. And the whole mental thing now, we interviewed Alex Hutchinson not too long ago, and he was talking about endurance and brain power. And, you know, there's so much that your brain doesn't necessarily want you to do things that maybe could hurt your body, but generally you have a lot of leeway there before you're really going to do your body harm. So sounds like a great book.
It is. His book is the next one on my list too. We were both speaking at an event together and and had the chance to meet up, and that sounds like an incredible book.
Yeah, I loved it. It was great. Okay, another person that you would personally recommend that we interview for this podcast.
This is Cindy. I'll take this one. I mean, Alex Hutchinson would be high on my list. He's definitely in my profession, someone I look up to a lot. So, but you've had him. So
we've had him.
I would suggest Megan Roach. She is a champion trail runner, a physician, a researcher, and with her husband, David Roach, is half of the coaching duo Swap, Some Work, All Play. She happens to be my running coach, but that's actually not why I'm suggesting her. She's so knowledgeable about the mental and physical aspects of the sport and has just come back from a pretty significant injury herself. And she's incredibly kind, empathetic, and positive, and just someone that I think all runners should benefit from talking with.
Oh, sounds wonderful. Well, thank you both for both of these suggestions, the book and the potential person for interviewing. We are definitely getting close to the end of, I mean, we've kind of run over the normal timeline, but it's been such interesting information and you're both really articulate as well. So now give us information on how our listeners can stay in touch with you and how they can purchase the book Rebound.
Sure. This is Cindy. Our website for all things related to Rebound is injuredathletesclub.com. There you can find links to buy the book. It's also available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Target, at many local booksellers. At that website, you can also find a link to our Facebook group, or you can just search for that. It's also called the Injured Athletes Club. That's the name of our podcast, too, if you want to hear more stories of athletes overcoming injury and coming back stronger.
And how often does your podcast come out? Is it a weekly thing?
It's every other week. Every other week.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Okay. Well, thank you both for sharing with us today. It's been really informative. This could go on for quite a bit longer, but I guess now people need to go out and actually get the book. And of course, we all hope that you don't get injured. But if you are injured or if you've been injured in the past, then there are lots of good tools here to help you can deal with wanting to be a runner and staying a runner, but also dealing with injury. Thank you, Carrie Jackson Cheadle and Cindy Kusma. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much for having us, Stephanie.
Thanks, Stephanie.
And thank you, our audience, for joining us for today's podcast, A Run to the Top. You can join us at the Runners Connect Winner's Circle on Facebook by going to runnersconnect.net/FB. And please subscribe to Run to the Top podcast at Runners Connect. .net or on Apple Play, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, we're all over the place. And that way you'll know every week when the new episode is published. You also may comment on how we're doing. We love to hear from you and truly appreciate when you take the time to share your thoughts. And if you have any ideas for awesome interviews, also let us know. Thank you, each of you, for listening. We'll be back next week with another super interview to entertain, educate, and inspire you. as you head out on your running workout. This is Stephanie K. Atwood, your host with Run to the Top, wishing you a great week of running or recovering from an injury and taking it really positively. Thanks so much. Bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Run to the Top podcast from runnersconnect.net.